Before we begin, I think it's needful to say we start at 9:30, and I've observed that there have been a number that have been walking in any time from 9:45 then. But after the singing, we need to be here on time. You miss something when you miss the singing. You know, I really believe that. It is really setting the stage for really the meeting and what we're going to have before us this morning. So I think it's important that we make an effort for the rest of the week that when John is here and the singing has begun, that we would be here. Now, it's nice to know where we've been and where, Lord willing, we want to go to today. So I'm just going to give you in a nutshell what is on my heart, and some of us have talked about it, and we looked yesterday to see what the Lord Jesus is doing, what he's building, and what he referred to as my assembly. It would be his work in building that. There would be no fault. There would be no flaws in this work. There would be no failure in what he is doing. And then we asked you last evening to turn to Matthew 18. Don't turn yet, but what are we going to see there? In its context, we're going to see that in his house, I no longer do what I want to do. We're going to find that there's discipline in that house. We're going to find that we walk there in accordance with the one who is building the house. We're going to find that there's authority there. And that authority is vested in his blessed name. Then we're going to go over to 2 Corinthians. We're going to say, well, now I've heard what the Lord is going to do. I'd like to know a little bit, how is he going to do this? And the Lord says, I'm really glad you asked because I want to show you. So we'll see doctrinally in 2 Corinthians what was going to take place or what did take place in the book of Acts. Then you might say in your own mind, well, I wish I had been there. And the Lord says, you know, I can give you something better than that. I can take you back there and I can show you exactly what happened on that wondrous day of Pentecost. Finally, I believe that we would look and ask ourselves, well, I wonder what was the character of people that were involved here. And as we go into Acts 2:42, we'll begin to understand a little bit about their walk and their ways as they serve the Lord in this scene. So maybe someone could read for us Matthew 18:20, and if Emil or John or Tony or...
I think there's some questions on...
Be fine if you... Okay.
It was after Peter confessed. Jesus says that that Peter's going to have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What exactly does that mean? Like, are they saying like the way to heaven is Peter? Because like, wouldn't that be contradicting the gospel of Christ?
Well, I would say, and I'll ask others to help, the subject of the kingdom is a different subject than the subject of the church. We're looking this morning at the assembly. We're looking at the church of the living God. The kingdom is something different. We're going to come into that as we look in Acts. The kingdom is broader than the church. The church is included within the kingdom. But in the kingdom, there is that which is not real. In the church, as we're looking at here, there is that which is real. Now, we would know, what do you do with a key? If there's a door in front of you, and that door is locked, that door is closed, and you have a key, what is the general purpose of a key?
Open the door.
It is to open a door. I think there's another comment, is there? This is really what Peter did as we would follow him in the book of Acts. We would see that the door was opened, not only then to the Jews, but we would follow and see that it was opened to the Gentiles, that they might also be brought into this place. Maybe others want to say something more on it.
Yeah, I think, and this is a question that also came up in another discussion. I think we mentioned yesterday that the Roman Catholic Church is in error when, upon Peter's confession, they view Peter as the establishment of the church. I think the verse that you're referring to in Matthew 16 is the verse that we understand that Peter was given the ministry to the kingdom or kingdom truth. Paul, on the other hand, was given the responsibility of being the minister of the mystery, which is concerning the assembly, and that's Ephesians chapter 3. So hopefully that'll help you to understand that here was by revelation that the Lord Jesus was unfolding something that had not been known before, that was that he would build his assembly. And to Peter, he was also introducing the fact that Peter would be given a special ministry that would unfold what we call kingdom truth. Hopefully that helps.
It's the way of salvation through Peter. That's not that verse saying at all. I think Chuck referred to God had given, the Lord Jesus had given Peter the keys. And in Acts chapter 2, he opened the door for the Jewish nation. 3,000 got saved. In Acts chapter 10, he opened the door to Cornelius, to the Gentiles to come in. So this is the idea of giving the keys. Right now, there is no opening. Peter has no opening or closing anymore because the door is already open to the Jews. The door is already open to the Gentile that anybody could come and be part of that wonderful thing that the Lord was speaking about.
Now, I heard there was another question that came up in a group. Is there, or was that the big question that was referred to me this morning? Do we have other questions before we move on? Say it that way. Well, maybe someone would read for us chapter 18 and verse 20. Why don't you start, since you volunteered to read, and help us understand what this means to you. If you would help other, if you were to be meeting someone on the street and you were to explain to them what this verse would be, help us understand just what a few of your thoughts would be.
When, obviously, two or three are even more gathered together to worship Christ or just do anything, I guess. He's always, like, he's always there, omnipresent, I believe is the term. He's always with us, but when, honestly, I'm not too good on the subject, but he's always with us, and he's in the midst there with us whenever we're breaking bread or at, like, a Bible study or even right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a thought. And it also says together, like the church, where we are one, we're not separate or divided in any way. So, okay.